Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, 3, 2, 1. How are you now? Brought to you by the Australian Mutual Funds Exchange. It is the Theory of Thing Investment Podcast. I am James Whelan, Investment Manager. A reminder that all advice contained is general in nature. Please speak to an advisor about your needs. Mark, well, my good friends, I am joined by Heath Moss of HLM Investments. Heath, how are you now? Phones off.
I'm very, very well. Thanks, mate. Yeah, phones off, on silent.
Good, on silent for now. Just get this. It was on this day back in 1992, on this day or yesterday in 1992, that the Red 5 of Nigel Mansell's Williams won at Hungary. And that was a great year. Everything was downhill from there, unfortunately.
Now, yes,
mate, look, a few things to discuss coming up. We've got ourselves a bit of Chinese issue. We've got ourselves markets in turmoil. Red, that's the flashing, the flashing light there. And I don't know, whatever else you got. Now, it's going to be another quick one. I like this idea of 20 minutes in, 20 minutes out.
Let's keep it
just
short
10
and sweet.
Minutes in, 10 minutes out. Short and sweet, go around. What have you got first off? Hit me.
It's China. It's everything China. That's what's China. Moving markets at the moment. Got inflation and that whole spiel is pushed to the background at this stage. We've got a few property developers missing payments over in China or threatening to miss payments. And then you have the Chinese, you know, trying to fight on two fronts where they're trying to defend their currency versus the US dollar, telling their state banks to sell the US dollar and buy the yuan. And then they've just started this week chucking a little bit of stimulus in. They cut rates by 15 basis points and they've chucked a bit of money into their MLF as well, which they hadn't done for a little while. But, I mean, this is all on the back too. Last week we saw new loan growth over in China absolutely nosedive. It was 50% below what was expected and 90% below where it was this time last year. So thing credit over there is a real problem at the moment, and the shadow banking and real estate sector are at the crux of it.
Yeah, okay, that's it. My question is, why don't they just stop reporting on the things that aren't looking good for them?
Well,
why?
I mean, obviously referring to
that?
The youth,
that's an awful
the youth
idea.
Unemployment. The youth unemployment
situation. They just reporting on youth unemployment. That's straight out of the Zimbabwean
Trump
weather station. Stop reporting on the weather. I remember Robert Mugabe.
Well, didn't Trump say at the height of COVID, if we stop testing, then COVID goes away?
That is true. He did say that.
Something
along
like that.
With many things. But, I'll tell you what. There's a part of me. This is one of those things of sort of missing. Missing it, I mean, not to compare the two, but it's sort of just like, you know, you sort of a miss a psychologically abusive relationship, because I don't know, it was just something that was something that was slightly more interesting than waking up. I remember waking up every morning and it was just like, well, that's what we're going to be talking about today. Just
and one tweet just changes everything. I remember driving into the city to do a thing on Ausbiz and driving along in the car, and then by the time I got there, Trump had tweeted something about the trade agreement with China or something, and markets had swung down 2%, and everything, you know, the whole complexion of the day's chat had changed. And it was remarkable times, but a little bit more stable with Biden in charge now. But this China stuff is something to worry about. We saw the retail sales, industrial sector things, private investment all come in well below expected as well. So things, the economy is really, really soft over there the moment.
It does add more to the flames to the fire. And I saw that Morgan Stanley, g'day Morgan Stanley, if you're listening. Morgan, there's a guy called Morgan Stanley who listens to the podcast. Hey, Morgan, how you going?
How you going, Morgan?
Dr. Stanley. And they were just like, India, basically it's the same thing that I put out at the beginning of last week for my Indian presentation, which is on YouTube if you check it out, on the YouTube channel where you're watching this or listening to this, that that Chinese descendancy is India's ascendancy, and India, and they actually use the term, it's just like India is where China was 10 years ago. That's the same thing. So all of the things that you say are going wrong with China are going right with India. The Chinese plus one investment, if you want to stop. Now here's the thing, Unfortunately, China's decline actually affects us as well, and we've seen this hit our miners too. We've seen this hit our market is leveraged to China, probably more than we'd like it to be, especially now at this particular time in our cycle. But it's not so much to India, but that's the thing. So if you want to sort of switch away there and sort of hedge that situation, then India probably, the ascendancy is a great way to do that. And there's an idea for you. And I'm you know, my brain is still foggy, though it is able to generate some ideas that I can sort of come out with in this particular state, which I'm in. Now, the fund manager survey also dropped, and I'm just going to put this up here. So here we go. Wow, look at that. That's professional, isn't it? Hang on, I'm just going to bring this here.
Very professional.
Yeah, not really. Hang on. I've got stupid designs and stuff. Can you see that? Can you see that?
Yeah, I can see that fine.
Okay, so fund manager survey. Blasting through it on the risks. The fund manager survey, the cash level is down below 5%, which means now they've got this rule that says that if it's below 5%, they've got a contrarian buy signal that goes with that thing. So that's the end of the contrarian buy signal that they had. The biggest tail risks that they see are still inflation, and which keeps the central banks hawkish. Most likely credit event is US and EU commercial real estate, which is 45%.
Yep. And we've been speaking about that for a while. Yep.
Yeah, that's right. So, and you can see here, so this is the chart that's on here is the fund manager survey capitulation in REIT positioning. This is the net percentage fund managers, the fund manager survey, which is about $600 billion under asset management. A bunch of fund managers from around the world all contribute. The net percentage fund manager survey overweight real estate is now gone to negative 30%. More or less 28%, I think, or something that's down there.
Yep.
Huge negative sort of turn. People really don't want to touch that stinky area. If you touch commercial real estate, then you have got to have rocks in your head at this particular time. Well, there is a point at which it becomes super value. I can't tell you when that is or where that is, but it's not there. Next chart up is, I'm just going to get through these charts real quick. The buy signal ends, that's the cash rate. When cash is high, they buy. When cash is low, they get out of it. So it's just sort of this inverse sort of thing. A lot of people go around the other way of this one, saying that, oh, there's lots of cash on the sidelines. So it's sort of, it's we need to get out. They don't. They see it the other way, which I actually really, really strongly agree.
Makes more sense, yes.
Yeah. I mean, not this week, but, you know, that's generally speaking, it does. People just say, oh, fund managers got huge amounts of cash. They must know something we don't. We need to follow them and do that. It's just like, no, actually a huge amount of cash on the sidelines. Is usually means that there's a good chance that buying comes in later because markets usually go up. I can't stress that enough about how much that is. And what else we got here? The last one that I wanted to put here, the US-EU commercial real estate, still the most likely credit event. I've talked about that. Oh, yeah, Chinese real estate concerns are easing. So August 2023, that's this month, that the biggest risk has now gone up to about 45%. And that's gone up. So there's commercial real estate. That's gone up from about 40% more or less there too.
Yep. I dare say that China real estate thing will take another notch up on that that ladder there next month in the September survey.
Yeah.
I think after everything. These all are lagging indicators because depending on what week or even what day these fund managers do the survey, as to what most concerns them. But if you go back to the real estate one, the first chart, I've been listening to podcasts about this, and they're saying the markets, the REITs on the market, have actually all fallen 30-40% over in the US, and even here in Australia, and sort of discounting these valuations, drops in valuations, and the risks associated with them. But what they're saying is in the private markets and the unlisted stuff, that's where the trouble could be brewing because a lot of the valuations have only fallen by 10% over there, and there's a big disparity between listed commercial real estate and unlisted commercial real estate values. So if we start to see those valuations come down,
someone actually legitimately marks to market the way that they should do.
And eventually, if chickens come home to roost and there is a thing with their commercial real estate, eventually those valuations are going to have to be marked down a lot lower, and that can cause more pain as well. So be careful, because a lot of investments have an unlisted and a listed version of whatever they're invested in. So moment the market, the anything listed has been severely sold off versus the unlisted stuff has been valued at. So that's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, and look, I couldn't touch it with the barge pole. It's not really something that I want to know about or see that's in there. I think the same sort of thing should be happening here in Australia. And I think that whatever has happened here has been underdone here. I think the I'm not going to venture into that. I've got sort of a rule this week and next week where if you're not fully convicted on it, then don't delve into anything that's in this one. You've got to really know about it. Also, hitting on Bloomberg just a few hours ago, one of China's biggest shadow banks. So back on China again. Sorry for bouncing. They're the only two stories.
No, that's fine.
One of China's biggest shadow banks skipped payments on several investment products, sparking rare protests in Beijing.
Mm.
Rare. Why is that? As the fallout from deepening property slumps spread to the financial sector. So these things, that's the easiest contagion that there is. If you get something in property, it's going to hit the finance and it's going to start to hit people. Zhongrong missed payments on dozens of products and has no immediate plan to make clients whole, indicating troubles at the embattled Chinese shadow bank are deeper than previously known. I've said this many times through investing. It's one of those things. You can talk about it. I've seen people talk about Country Garden, not a restaurant. I think it's just Country Garden. Too many giving away too many breadsticks, and Country Garden looks like it could be in a bit of a situation. But I've seen this written about. Old friend of the show, Jonathan Payne. Say what you will about him, he's a good friend of ours and a good friend of mine. He's been writing about Country Garden for a few weeks now, if not probably over a month, talking about just how dire that situation is going to be over there for them. Eyes up on that, and now it's actually really, really those are chickens that are coming home to roost.
Pay attention. But you would think with someone like Country Garden, which I think has got about $138 billion in US dollars in debt, if they were able to manage the Evergrande stuff at $500 billion, they're going to be able to manage these guys as well. Not to say that there won't be some pain.
And there should be some pain. That's the idea of these things. But you are correct. There's one of those things that does happen, and we saw this all the way through COVID, is that people saw there's a problem here, and they just treated it. And this is one of these investment. Here we go. Investment with James and Heath. How to navigate markets when everyone's freaking out and the only thing that's covered is Michael freaking Burry and his $1.6 billion of notional short positions that he's got on the market. And everyone wants to talk about the big short guy's got a big short. Okay, good. You can tell I'm a little bit tense this week. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be as calm as I possibly can. I'm meditating too, which is good, a lot. You've got a lot of the focus on, there's an issue. And people don't focus on the next thing, which is just like things usually get fixed. And I'm going to reiterate, and I've said this so many times, I haven't actually said it.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Lately, and I'm probably going to have to say it again quite soon, is that remember what Jay Powell said towards the end of last year? I've said this so many times on this podcast and on TV and everything that I've been doing, is that he said it's easier for us, being the Fed, it's easier for us to fix something that we break doing this than it is to perpetuate what we've been doing with this low rate cycle. And in that, take that and put that to everything. Governments fix it, funny money fixes it, interventions fix these things. It's just like, you can't just say they're drunk, they've been kicked out of the pub, that's it, that's the end of the whole thing. You can say they will get sober, someone will help them, something will go on. And there's, I don't understand why I use that metaphor. I suppose maybe it's just that sort of thing. But anyway, so you can sort of see what's going to come.
We saw that with the regional banks at the start of the year in around March.
That's right. over in the US. Seems like 1,000 years ago now.
Big problem. They came in with a few solutions, and now no one's really talking about it. We only had another bank in California go broke last week, and no one was talking about it. So,
Maybe it is something that we should be talking about. The next thing that I had up here was talking about the US. Now, one of the things that came out of the fund manager survey, I didn't have time to screen grab it, is that more and more people are now are saying that there won't be a recession in the US. That's bad news. And we've seen bond yields have started to go up more because of that. And bonds and stocks are now connected the same way that they were last year. They're connected back on the upside as well. As much as I touted the idea of the 60-40 portfolio, it's only working when everything is going in the same direction. When bond yields come off, so bonds go up, thank you, Martin Wharton, then the market does have a tendency to do so as well. Cheaper money, fantastic, and less of those aggressive. I'm not going to go through future cash flows or anything like that for you. That's a different podcast. But so everything sort of travels in the same direction. Annoyingly, it's not that perfect 60-40 hedge that you can have where one thing bounces off the other and it's a safety. Yeah, which is what you want. Annoyingly, it sort of is. So bond yields going up. How resilient is the US market? Too resilient. Good news, bad news again.
Yeah, I think so. But they do have a lot of headwinds ahead. I mean, I think I've spoken about before, September is when it's forecasted that those excess savings from COVID run out for the consumer. So households will feel the pinch there. And then student loan repayments start again in October, as much as Biden has tried to delay it again and sort of wipe it off. That's a big strain on the consumer as well, because obviously they're going to have to start making loan repayments. And a lot of these people too, and I've heard this say this will impact polling for next year, is a lot of people expected never had to have pay that off again. So went out and got, you know, new car loans or personal loans, etc.
More debt.
They'll never have to pay these things in. More debt and
things that they needed.
They're going to have to start. They're going to have to start in October, even though, I mean, he did. There was a large chunk wiped out for a lot of people with that forgiveness. It's still massive, massive problem.
Yeah, that's how that goes. Now, we do have, so talking about, bring up your chart here. You want me to pull your stuff up?
Yep. You've got the buttons, right. So you push them.
Yeah, your buttons, you're up, go. Talk.
Yep, beautiful. We got,
people who are listening, we've got a chart of the S&P 500 in front of us.
S&P 500, a couple of nights ago, it traded below the 50-day moving average. First time it's done that since March. Mm. It just looks like it's below, what are we, around the 4,400 mark at the moment. Looks like it's heading to that 4,200 mark. That would be around about an 8% to 9% sell-off from the 4,600 we touched a couple of weeks ago. But it is looking very sick there. And that would also coincide with the 200-day moving average as well, if it got down to around that level, you know, moving forward. So some important levels to watch out for here. We've had the end of the US earnings reporting season. It was, I think earnings were down about 5%, which was better than the expected, but still they were down. We're still in an earnings recession. That's three quarters in a row now we've had of negative earnings. So markets are moving past that and now looking at the next thing. And obviously the next thing at the moment is China and their property market. So a bit of nervousness coming in there. Like you said, a lot of cash, cash levels were lower. So people are more invested at the moment. I think we see those cash levels rise again over the next month or two in that survey. And that will coincide with an index that tests that 4,200 in the next couple of weeks.
Okay, that works well. Also, keep in mind, Chris Weston, friend of the show from Pepperstone, one of the smartest minds in the business. Yep. We had him here on the chat and he's gone here. I'll sort of half do his accent. Dealers short gamma into OPEX in it, governor. Delta short. I'm pretty upset with the entire country of England, actually. And in fact, you know, it's after last night, the lionesses. Decent delta hedge with short. So dealers short gamma into OPEX. So That's why the market's coming off. Decent delta hedge with short spoos. May get a bounce post OPEX as dealers close unwanted inventory in it. Hang Seng needs to bounce in it. I don't know why he writes in it when he's writing on the chat. It's very strange from Chris Weston there. Need a bounce. Governor. G'day, Chris, if you're listening to me, mate. All said with perfect love, as you know that we love you so much, mate. Anyway, yes, so OPEX sort of playing into it as well. When that's done, so monthly's done on Friday, then maybe
could see a small bounce covering those shorts. I wouldn't, maybe if we get another down night tonight, it comes back up and tests that 44.50 level on the closing of those positions. But I can't see any reason for, you know, a substantial move higher in any global markets at the moment, unless China come out all of a sudden with a concrete plan and says, this is what we're going to do with our property market. This is what we're going to do to stimulate the economy. And that's what the market's been waiting for a while, actually. They keep on teasing us, eventually the market's gone, nah, we've had enough, we're rolling.
Yeah, we've had enough of your nonsense, you're teasing. I don't think the presidency, and looking through some of the backgrounds, it's difficult to sort of get a read on it, but the articles that I'm reading about it are saying that it's not the same enthusiasm to go into, this is from a few months ago, not the same enthusiasm to go into and charge into stimulus as it was before. It's nowhere close to where it was for COVID times, and definitely, you know, during GFC, but it's not that same, it's sort of more just like let these things go, and we don't have to go in and charge in and fix everything as keenly or as readily or as actively as we were before, and that's sort of the play. And I think that that's coming to fruition. The other kicker, though, Heath, is that if they do stimulus in China, then you're going to see energy prices rise. Energy prices rising will affect people at the pump. Biden is not going to like that much, and that's actually going to put up sort of, I know that there's inflationary things in core inflation bits and pieces, but still it's going to affect how much people can spend. Now it's either going to weaken the amount that they can spend on other stuff or send overall inflation up, continue to do so. Keep in mind also, at the same time, China is also shutting off a lot of its food or securing its food supply as well. So they're going to see more of that food stuff. So food and energy set to go. Now I know that they're not counted. Don't come at me with that sort of thing. However, they are still inflationary impacts for actual real regular people. Just because the Fed doesn't actually like to look at them doesn't mean that they're a real thing. So go on. Sorry, what's your next one?
So this is just the US oil chart. We saw that spike up to 84 on the enthusiasm surrounding probably more the US market than anything in the economy. But then over the last week, we've seen that sell off down to about 79 on the back of the Chinese woes, et cetera.
Yeah,
and a retest of that breakout around that 75 to 76 looks likely moving ahead. So, yeah,
okay.
I'll quickly bring up the Chinese market chart again. Really
China. Talk to China as if people can't see that chart. And I'm going to look at my footy tips because that's where we're going next. And we're going to GF.
Yep. So we're around that 3,800 market level on the index in China. If we break down below that, which could be likely, then we're going to head towards that 3,500 to 3,400 mark on the Chinese level. We saw that in October, November last year. But that would mean the market, Chinese market's almost 50% off from its highs of around the 5,800 mark in 2021. So some really important levels there. And the Hang Seng, which is, you know, the proxy Chinese market, is very much very similar. We break below 18,000 here, then we're heading towards the 14,000-15,000 mark on that index as well. So some real concerns with these major indexes.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay, now football tips. I'm going to go first because you're just coming in off that. We've got a few minutes left, which is good. Do we have a few minutes left? Let me see. We do. Okay. Look, I'm just going, look, just it's the time of the season where you just take all the favourites because some teams give up and some teams really need to get it done. Cowboys will win tonight, if you're listening. Warriors will win tonight. The Roosters will beat the Eels. Leave the West Tigers out. I think that Dolphins game is going to be interesting. Panthers will win. Just multi up a whole bunch of favourites and you'll be fine. Go Storm, Panthers, Roosters, Warriors, and the Cowboys. You know what? Just go nuts on this one. And that's just how that's going to be. It's that time of season. What do you got in the AFL?
AFL, I am doing what I'm dubbing the Chardonnay Cup. It's Crows versus the Swans this weekend over in Adelaide.
We've got a great Chardonnay record Cup. Here.
Yeah, you do. We haven't beat you since 2018. I just had a quick look and, we haven't beaten the Swannies since 2018.
And we need this. Please, give me some good news. What have we got?
Whoever wins this basically plays finals. That's the long and short of it. I am going for the Crows at home. We have a fantastic record at home. A 1-39 margin and $2.30. Put your money on it. I think the Crows win in a probably a tight one. The teams match up really, really well.
I'm going to take you on there. I reckon the Swans. The Swans will pip it. We'll put a beer on it next time over in Adelaide. Okay.
Yeah, they're paying Swans are paying $2.51 for the win. So good money there. Adelaide's won 6 of their last 7 at home with an average margin of 55 points. So keep that in mind.
They haven't had the Swans over there yet. And as I said, they have a good record over there. The Swans are buddy free, which is good, finally. And I mean, as much as you love the guy and everything that he's done for the club, he was a year too many. He's gone, and that seems to have really freed everything up and made us a bit more active, which is fantastic. Keeping a player on the field just for fan emotion is wonderful and beautiful, emotionally speaking. However, not great when you actually are dependent on making it to finals to be able to fill seats and tickets and sell shirts and stuff like that. Right, that's it for the show. Thank you very much for joining us here. We are sponsored by the Australian Mutual Funds Exchange. Anything you want to know, please drop a note and I'll be able to help you out. My name is James Whelan. I'm joined by Heath Moss. Thank you very much, everyone, and Mark Well.
Have a good one, guys.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.